before today. This is the day that you've made. And we rejoice, Lord. Our hearts are beating. There's air in our lungs, Lord. So many blessings. So many benefits. We just give you thanks, Jesus. Thank you for touching us, ministering to us through the week. We just want you to minister to us now. Praise your name. Praise your name. Name above all names. Lord, use me as a vessel. Pour out the next few minutes. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Since we're having a baptismal service in a few minutes, I thought it'd be good for us to talk about the importance of such an event. The Christian church considers it so significant that it calls baptism a sacred ordinance. And that means it's a sacred law. So what is baptism? Why do we do it? Is it essential? These are all good questions, and maybe I can answer some of them for you. Oftentimes, we participate in certain rituals to express an important message. In fact, we declare our belief in something without ever saying a word. For instance, we place a flag in the front yard to say, "I love my country. I love my country. It's the best." We wear a sports team jersey to say, "I love this team. I support them." We put on a wedding ring to say, "I love my spouse. He or she is wonderful." Well, being baptized is an outward expression of your Christian faith. Being baptized is an outward expression of your Christian faith. You are declaring that you love Jesus and that he is simply awesome. Amen? Baptism is a vivid display of the grace of God working in your life. The grace of God operating in your life. And that's part of the reason the Bible teaches us that every person should be baptized after they receive the gift of salvation. Now, within Christianity today, there are many different ways in which people are baptized. Some get sprinkled with water. Some get water poured over them. Others get dunked under the water. So there are differing ideas on how one should be baptized. However, if we look at Scripture, we see that it teaches that the proper way for a person to be baptized is to be immersed completely under the water. After all, that's what the word baptize actually means, to immerse. In the Greek, the word is baptizo, originally meant to dip or to die. The word baptizo had been used in early days to describe a process of dipping a cloth in a vat of color to dye or change the color of the fabric. The outward appearance of that garment is permanently changed. Amen? Likewise, when the believer is dipped into those baptismal waters, it is as if they are being dipped into the precious blood of Jesus Christ. They become transformed, a brand new creature in Jesus. It can be described as burying the old past life and beginning a new life with Jesus. And that's the way folks were baptized in the Bible. They were immersed. There's not one example of a sprinkling or a pouring baptism in the Scriptures. And there's not one example of an infant child being baptized in the Bible. In Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus says this to his disciples. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is a beautiful expression of what God has done in a person's life. We are lowered into the water to symbolize that our sinful life is passing away. The old man is buried. Then we're raised up out of the water as a symbol of our new life with Jesus. Our sins are washed away. We truly have become a new man or a new woman. We have died to our sin and we have been resurrected to new life. God's plan is that the act of baptism will be a vivid display of His grace operating in a person's life. In the Bible, there is a wonderful story of a person coming to faith and then being baptized almost immediately afterwards. It's in Acts chapter 8. If you'd like to go there, I'm going to start with verse 34. Acts 8, verse 34. Verse 34 through 38. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. This is how a story about how Philip found the Ethiopian eunuch who was reading from the prophet Isaiah, but struggling to understand what it meant. When Philip helped this Ethiopian come to understand that Jesus was the Savior, the eunuch determined to put his faith into Christ, and as a display of his faith, he wanted to be baptized right then and there. But why would the Ethiopian ask to be baptized? I mean, how did he know about the importance of baptism? We must remember that this man had been to Jerusalem. It was after Pentecost. And the Christians took over Jerusalem at Pentecost. Amen? All right? It exploded onto the scene. You may remember that on the day of Pentecost alone, 3,000 people were saved and baptized on that same day. Who could miss the thousands of people lined up at the Jewish mikvahs to be baptized? Mikvahs were pools of water that were originally designed for the ritual cleansing of sin by faithful Jews. These pools were situated all around the temple. And on that particular day, the mikvahs were used by the new converts to symbolize the forgiveness and cleansing from sin that only Jesus can give. So while in Jerusalem, the eunuch had observed these new Christians being baptized, so he inquired of Philip. He asked Philip about it, if he could do the same thing. Now, this isn't the first place where baptism is revealed in the Bible. Baptism was practiced before Jesus began his public ministry, and it was intended for Jewish believers who were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. A preacher named John, also known as John the Baptist, is the first biblical character instructing people to be baptized as a confession of their faith while they anticipated the arrival of the Savior. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 3 and look at this. Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to begin with verse number 1 and go to verse 6. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now, John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. So John the Baptist was the one God chose to set the immediate stage for Jesus, who would soon begin his public ministry. John called the people to repent from their sinful ways and turn to God because the kingdom of God was at hand. Amen. He knew that the Savior was on his way. He knew that. And he wanted the people to be ready. So many received John's message, repenting of their sins and being baptized as a symbol of their new dedication to God. In faith, they looked ahead to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. It was necessary for the people to get their hearts ready to receive Jesus, embracing the Father's plan for mankind through His Son. But then something very interesting happened. While John is baptizing people in the Jordan River, the Savior Himself arrives on the scene. Jesus asked John to baptize him. Chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Here's the Savior of the world, the perfect Lamb of God. Why would Jesus need to be baptized? Baptism was for repentant sinners. Jesus was not a sinner. He didn't need to repent and be baptized. Jesus was God. So what's happening here? The key to understanding this event is to remember that the act of baptism is only a symbolic expression. It expresses what is spiritually happening within a person. So what was Jesus expressing through his baptism? First of all, he was identifying himself with sinners. He certainly didn't have to confess any sin because he was sinless. Jesus was God in the flesh. He was the God-man who would soon die a human death for the sins of the world. But it was Jesus' baptism that helped the people recognize that he was a real man and not just a spiritual being. Understand, saints, that just because Jesus identified himself with humanity, it didn't mean he was identifying himself as a sinner. His baptism also validated John's message that people needed to repent. God's kingdom was at hand. Jesus had no intention of teaching anything different than what John was addressing. Jesus was the fulfillment of John's teachings, and his baptism validated John's teachings. But most importantly, Jesus was identified by John as the Savior. Most importantly, the Son of God who came to take away the sins of the world. When Jesus came up out of those baptismal waters, the Father exclaimed, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Immediately, the Holy Spirit made a visible appearance resting upon Jesus Christ in the form of a dove. And so without a doubt, Jesus was identified quickly, publicly, as the Savior of mankind. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all testifying together that the time had come for Jesus to be presented to the world as the Messiah. When Jesus first approached John and told him he wanted to be baptized, John didn't understand. But within minutes, he and everyone else understood. This was the one about whom John had been preaching. The Savior had come. After his baptism, Jesus would begin his public ministry throughout the region. People began publicly acknowledging that Jesus was the Savior come from God. And throughout his ministry, Jesus and the disciples baptized his followers as they confirmed their new faith in him as Savior and Lord. Jesus instructed his disciples to continue baptizing new believers until he called his church home. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the complete last commandment that Jesus gave, it says this, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" That's the Great Commission, folks. The last words of Jesus. Obviously, the disciples were supposed to teach the truth about Jesus everywhere they went. Then after the people became believers, the disciples were instructed to baptize these new converts. On the day of Pentecost, as we already said, Peter preached a message through the power of the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 people were saved. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, "Then those who gladly received his word," Peter's word, "were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Philip preached in Samaria before he met with the eunuch." Acts 8, verse 12. "But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." You see, the disciples continued to preach and teach concerning the work of Jesus and then baptized new believers. I think that's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. Baptism is such a beautiful expression of what God has done in a person's life. We're lowered into the water to acknowledge that our old life is passing away. And then we're raised out of the water to signify our new life with Jesus. Baptism clearly shows us how we can have all our sins washed away by Jesus Christ and receive a new life, a new beginning through him. Each and every baptism expresses that same beautiful message to all that witness it, which means baptism becomes a ministry or a witness to others. I wonder if there's someone in your family or among your friends that need to hear the message of God's grace. Maybe they wouldn't dare darken the door of a church. However, those who are wary of the Sunday morning service just might come to see you get baptized. Amen? Your baptism could be just the message that draws them to Jesus. Listen, folks, every believer should be baptized. Every believer should be baptized. It is our way of showing the world the grace of God in our lives. There's another reason why every believer should be baptized. It is the command of the Lord. It's the command of the Lord. Jesus didn't say that baptism was optional. Not only does the act of baptism declare our faith in Jesus, but it also shows our obedience to Jesus. Now listen closely. If you are a believer but have decided not to be baptized, you won't lose your salvation. Remember, we aren't saved by anything but God. Anything that we do, we're not saved by that. We are saved by what God has done in His grace. Amen. But your spiritual growth may be hindered because of your refusal to obey the Lord in this matter. It's just as much of a sin to fail to do the right thing as it is to do the wrong thing. Believers should be baptized in obedience to the Lord, the Savior they claim to follow. Jesus spoke of baptism as the first serious step for the believer. It is essential that you not skip over this step, as so many people have done through the years. Often people who neglect this divine command tend to let other vital requirements of their Christian walk slip through the cracks, folks. Don't let that describe you. Baptism is a spiritual experience. It will confirm and increase your faith. Whenever you obey the Lord and His Word, your faith will automatically grow. Baptism is God's grace on display. Grace in the life of the one who's been baptized, as well as the grace available to all those who stand as a witness to the baptism. Baptism is an incredibly important act of obedience for us who believe, but one that openly reveals to the world who we have become. Many of you will remember a man by the name of Pat Summerall. Pat Summerall spent 50 years involved with the National Football League. He was drafted by the Detroit Lions in 1952 and played with the Lions, the Chicago Cardinals, and the New York Giants until 1961. After his retirement from the game, he joined CBS as a broadcaster. And then in 1993, he switched to Fox. During his CBS years, he and a fellow broadcaster partied hard off the field. "We raised Cain," he said. "I was the first guy at the bar and the last to leave." Summerall was told by the doctors that if he kept drinking, he was going to die. So after checking in to the Betty Ford Clinic, his counselor urged him to seek a better life through faith. At the age of 66, Pat Summerall was baptized. In USA Today, he told a reporter that when the minister leaned me back in the water, "I never felt so helpless, but I knew I had become a Christian. And I can't tell you how great life has been since then." Pat Summerall, at the age of 66, experienced God's grace and wanted everyone to know about it. Amen? I'm sure that as he exited the water, Mr. Summerall was met with applause and hugs and blessings of God because he was obedient to the Lord in his baptism. Maybe it's time for you to take the plunge. to show the world the grace of God in your life. If that's the case, let you and I talk about your baptism. Don't let fear, pride, inhibitions, or the comments of others prevent you from taking that step of faith in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Show the world just how much you love your Savior. When you come up out of the water, you'll be met with applause, hugs, and the blessings of God as people rejoice with you. Amen. 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 Give God a shout here this morning, folks. Come on. Amen. Amen. Brother Lee, would you go get the kids, please? I want to read out of the Message, a passage of Scripture. This is from Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 through 15. And it says this, entering into this fullness is not something you figure out or achieve. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. No, you're already in. Insiders. Not through some secretive initiation rite, but rather through what Christ has already gone through for you, destroying the power of sin. If it's an initial ritual you're after, you've already been through it by submitting to baptism. Going under the water was a burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was a resurrection. God raising you from the dead as he did Christ. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive, right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven, the slate wiped clean, that old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all of the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. What a description of baptism. What a description of what we say when we are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, we should be getting the young people in here. And we're going to do a little hooting and hollering, okay? Can we do that? All right. And parents, if you you want to take pictures, I invite you to come up here in front when we do that. Okay, Sister Bonnie would also like to say something to the kids before we begin.
This is just so exciting for me. Since I had the privilege of teaching these children, and I just believe I kind of reinforce what I know the parents teach at home. Now they want to see their children serving the Lord. Familiar scripture we want to say today. Everybody knows it, I'm sure, and if you do, just say it with me. It's Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen.
For it is believing in your heart that you made things right with God, and it is confessing with your mouth that you've been saved. Now, children, this morning, the ones that are going to be baptized, Layla and Anthony, and of course, Anthony was a former student of mine. I still try to teach him stuff. But anyway, and Logan, these young people today, it's a thrill, isn't it? It's wonderful. Amen. Now, have you young people, have you confessed Jesus as the Son of God you believe that Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins? Have you asked forgiveness for your sins? Yes. Okay. You invited Jesus into your heart. Amen. Amen. Yes, they have. We've spoken about it in children's church, and I know that especially Layla right here, she's had a lot of teaching. She's ready. I think she's been ready. I think she's been begging to be baptized, haven't you? Okay, so you ready to go first? You know what? The water's a little chilly this morning. Did you tell them about that?
Yes, ma'am.
So help us, Jesus.
Yes. You want to come up here with the kids? And you want the kids to come up here? There's more room. They can come in. Yeah. Brother Glenn, can you come and help me, please?
Now remember, when you go into the water, that's that old person. And then you come back up.
All right, Layla, come on up here. All right, give me your hand here, baby. Okay. You want to come and you want to sit down right over there, okay? I hope the water doesn't go over your head when you sit down. Okay, here you go. Okay. Okay, can you sit? Can you sit down? Right there on that shelf.
It's cold.
I'll hold you, okay?
Jesus will warm you up. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. Okay.
It's going to be done in just a second.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I just heard you testify that you love Jesus. Amen. You've asked him into your heart, okay? Now, I want you to take this hand, and I want you to hold your nose. Hold your nose real tight, honey. Hold your nose real tight, okay? And I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mr. Logan? Hallelujah. All right, give me a hand here, buddy. All right, turn around and sit down right there. There you go. Okay. All right. Well, like Layla, I heard you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, so we want to baptize you, okay? All right, hold on to your nose tight. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Anthony?
Yes,
they're going to keep getting bigger. Hang on to my hand. Working our way up for the adults. All right. Okay. I meant to hold Logan under the water more, but I failed to do it. But I will take care of you, okay? Anthony, because you love Jesus. Jesus is your Savior.
Yes,
we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Miss Maggie? Maggie, go get ready. Eli, where you at? Yeah, right. Okay.
They were so enthralled with the children.
Right. Yes. Anybody want to ad lib here a minute?
Praise God.
Norm?
Can I tell a story about baptism?
Yeah. testify about it.
I met a visiting preacher up in Colorado, and he spoke there at least once a year for several years. And Malcolm Smith. He'd been in Kansas speaking the weekend before, and he had one when they gave the altar call. Woman that came up said that she had been living in style of witchcraft. She had been involved in a coven, and very heavily in it, and she gave her heart to the Lord. And they baptized her that night. Well, he left, and then he was coming over to our church, and the pastor called him the next day and told him, Monday morning, this man walked in and said, where is she? He gave the woman's name. And they said, why? He says, I'm her warlock. You can't have her. And they said, we won't tell you. And the guy started walking. He said, I'll find her. And he started walking out, and he turned around and said, was she baptized? And the pastor said, yep. The guy goes, she's lost, and walked out. Okay. He recognized the spiritual change and significance of that baptism.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
There is a spiritual act that takes place at the same time that that physical act is done.
Yes. Amen.
That's why, as he said, if you haven't been baptized and Jesus is your Lord, you need to be baptized. It isn't a talisman or anything that's going to do, but it makes a difference in the spirit realm in your life and will help you to stand for Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hang out of my hand so you don't slip, buddy. Okay?
They weren't kidding. It is kind of cold.
Hallelujah.
It's chilly.
Well, this is the second time Eli has been baptized, and he felt the need, and I think that's wonderful.
Amen.
I think that's wonderful. And Eli, I know you love Jesus.
Yes.
And I know this is going to represent a change in your life.
Yeah.
And you've had so many here just recently graduating and getting jobs and but this is probably the biggest one.
I agree.
All right. Grab your nose with that hand, buddy. Okay. Eli, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
We were going to pray and sing a song or two while he was under.
Now, I gave you that prerogative.
Yeah, you did. I didn't listen to you.
I told Glenn he could hold him under.
That's dad privileges, right?
Yeah.
Holy dad privileges for those who are watching my video. And
you ready, Maggie?
That's dad privileges.
I don't know how long Maggie's been at our church, but she has blessed our church tremendously.
Amen.
And,
been a blessing to
yes.
us. Been a blessing. Hang in there.
Yeah,
just
amen.
A few more seconds.
Yeah. Maggie, you love Jesus?
Yes, I do.
You got anything you want to tell these folks?
This is the second time I get baptized because 2 weeks ago I was blessed by the Holy Spirit and received my tongue.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Say it again, bro.
In case somebody didn't hear that, she said that a couple of weeks ago, she was blessed mightily by the Lord, received the gift of tongues. And that's part of why she wants to get rebaptized today.
Amen. Amen. Hold your nose with that hand, okay? Maggie, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, I don't know about you, but that was good, huh? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. And I don't know what condition these folks will be in, dry or wet or what, but I really would like you to give them a hug and congratulate them over this big step they took today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we love you and thank you for today. Thank you for this body of believers. Thank you for working in our hearts and lives, Lord. And Lord, even down to convicting us. Lord, set us free, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all.